Sermon text this morning, the gospel reading for the day. The man who was formerly blind. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 41 verses. To get this done in 20 minutes, I had to really narrow this one down. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been caught in the middle? We might say caught in the crossfire. You know, caught in the middle. Perhaps you've been asked to take a side in a conflict between your siblings. You know, and your answer to that probably, usually, hopefully, should be, nope. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. Or even worse, perhaps, your mom and dad are fighting and you want them both to just stop. Unfortunately, mom and dad want you on their side. You're caught in the middle. People are caught in the middle all the time. Here we find a recently healed blind man who is caught in the middle. Confess Jesus and be removed from the synagogue. That's as good as being kicked out of society. Or, deny Jesus and don't run afoul of the civil religious powers that be. However, you deny the man who gave you sight. So where you find this gentleman at. Now we can see the progressions the blind man makes as he refers to Jesus. He refers to Jesus as a man. Then he refers to Jesus as a prophet. Then he claims he's a disciple of Jesus. And later we find that Jesus, this man calls Jesus Lord. And then falls at his feet and worships him. So, man, prophet, Lord, worship. We see the progression that this man made regarding Jesus. The man's parents are another story. They're so afraid of the establishment that they throw their son under the bus. We don't know Jesus. We know this is our son. We don't know how he got his sight back. Don't ask us. He's old enough. Go ask him. Leave us out of it. The crowds are divided. Everyone has to take his side on the truth of Jesus. Is he the Christ, or does he have a demon? Which one is it? Are you going to confess Jesus, or are you going to duck and cover? Jesus, so far in the Gospel of John, has made some very bold claims about himself. Very startling claims. John chapter 5, the Father has sent me. John 6, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. John chapter 7, Jesus declares that he is from God and that God has sent him. John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 again, before Abraham was, I am. John 9, I am the light of the world again. Jesus claims to be God. For that's what all his I am statements are. When he says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is very clearly saying to the people, I was the one speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. That was me. I've always been and I always will be. Wow. He is making startling, amazing claims about himself. After he claims to be God, Jesus gives the blind man sight. He exercises the power and the authority of the Creator. Now the pressure is on. Confess and be canceled, or crumble and be commended. Confess and be canceled by the authorities, or crumble and be commended by God. Which one is it? Which direction are people going to go? Which way are they going to break? And isn't that the place that the church finds itself in today? Capitulate to culture and deny who Jesus is, or proclaim Christ and find out just how easy it is for your words and your statements to be taken and twisted and made to mean something you never intended. Be ready for the vitriol of unbelievers and the anger of false teachers to fall upon you. And by church, I mean everything from synod to individual congregations to you as individuals yourselves. Where do we stand? I can tell you this is for myself. This is on the internet. This is on the radio. Used to be on TV when we had Channel 5. I noticed I found myself talking in code words and trying to soften the blows of something, skirting around issues so as not to offend, searching for ways to keep peace, which, by the way, usually backfires when you're trying to keep the peace and you're tepid. It doesn't work, right? Fearful of saying the wrong thing and ending up with the front of the building spray painted or something worse happening to our church building. But you know, and I know, we're all coming to the conclusion that the time for our timidity is gone. It is past. And as the body of Christ, we must confess our faith in Jesus. We must confess our faith in biblical morality, or we will fall into obscurity or become false witnesses about Christ or false teachers about Christ. The blind man, the formerly blind man, was bold. So let us be clear about our confession of faith. We hold that all of the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, true word of the living God. All of it. The Bible is the Word of God. It is not somewhat true, partly true, sort of true. It is all true, inspired by God. It does not merely contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And it is the Word of God for our salvation. If there is no creation, for instance, and life evolved on this planet, then something died before there was people. And that means death came into the world before there were people, which means the book of Genesis is just wrong. It's wrong and we are lost. There is no God. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that is it. If death did not come as a result of Adam's sin, then everything about Jesus is a lie. And he himself is a liar. And there is no salvation. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, then all of this that we preach, teach, confess, and believe is vanity. It is in vain. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, though, God caused his word to be written down for us, to be recorded for us, to be preserved for us in the Bible. As it is written in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Therefore, St. Peter writes, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ might be put to shame. Then without malice and without disrespect, what is it that we believe, teach, and confess concerning Jesus Christ? We confess the things that the creeds confess. Jesus of Nazareth is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. From thence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. That's who Jesus is. And one who does not believe in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, does not believe in his atonement for our sins, does not believe in his resurrection, that one cannot be saved. In the same way, we cannot violate the third commandment. We cannot absent ourselves from worship and the divine service and still claim to be a Christian. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It is not the pastor you have to contend with. It is the Lord God's command that the person has to contend with. Let us not give up meeting together, St. Paul says, as some are in the habit of doing. Listening to a service online, listening to the service over the radio, is good for the sick and the shut-in, because they are unable physically to be here. But it should never be a substitute for being in worship in person, receiving the consolation of the brethren, the strengthening of your faith through word and sacrament in God's house. We believe in the sanctity of human life from its conception until death, and not a death hastened on by human hands or human intervention, not a willful killing of the sick and the infirm, but a death in the Lord's time. We believe in the sanctity of marriage as designed by our Creator, to be entered into by one man and one woman for the reasons that God intended it. The love and the support that they give one another, and if it is God's will, for the procreation of children, for the right upbringing in the church, and their entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, fathers, it is our confession that it is your God-given responsibility to see to the Christian training of your children, to see to their attendance and their attention in worship, and to see to their growth in the Christian faith. And yes, while we are at it, there are only biological males and biological females. There are only two genders, male and female. As the Scripture says, have you not heard? God created them, male and female. Men and women, separate and distinct, each given their God-given responsibilities and their God-given gifts. The teaching that gender is something that is fluid is an abomination in the sight of our God. Bottom line. Therefore, we stand on what the Lord says. We stand on the truth of God's creative intent for men and women as revealed in Holy Scripture. The blind man, the man formerly blind, could have stayed silent. He could have ducked, covered, went his own way. With sight, yes, but without salvation. If he would have stayed silent, he would have sinned against the eighth commandment by letting fear restrain his witness. Let us always in this congregation stand on the truth of God's Word and what God's Word proclaims for us and for our lives. And yes, as St. Paul writes in our epistle reading today, may we call out the works of darkness, a few of which were touched on here, but there are many more. Yes, the blind man could have stayed silent, but I know that he didn't. He spoke concerning Jesus. He stood with Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. And I hope, for our part, that this formerly blind man would be proud of us. And I pray that this congregation and myself always stand on Christ and ever confess Him as our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.